he's not even allowed to have a Playboy magazine at the fire station. Apparently, these days, one can be charged with sexual harassment for looking at a woman. And I think we've gone too far. This is really pathetic and sad. I mean, look, women, to me, are beautiful creatures. And if there's one nearby and there's something to be seen, I do not now know the harm in looking. I've never known the harm in looking. And if you can actually be charged with sexual harassment for merely looking, well, I don't know. America's turning into a different kind of place. What has happened to sexuality and the relationship between men and women? Is it now just going to be a matter for court and for challenge and for... I think we're ruining it. This great thing, this relationship between men and women, we are ruining it. And I'm not happy about that. I should tell you I'm not happy. And I wonder if you feel the same way, or do you think they're on the right track and that that people should absolutely have their distance and their space and that women should not expect to be looked at? Is that where we want the relationship between men and women in this country to be going? I don't think so.
From the 5 to the 6, we be in the mix with that rare candy paint job on a whip. I need food for the kids, money for the rent. Fuck a lockdown, baby, I can't do that shit. And I don't never vote, cause I'm fucking broke. And either way, I know the police ain't gon' leave me alone. On a plane by the visit, Glenn Rockney. Crypto told me I should bring the Glock with me. So I packed up my piece and I'm sliding. Cause we might get caught up in a riot. Middle finger Trump, middle finger Biden. Fuck a left, fuck a right, is you riding? Do you love to see it? Dudes rocking. Ain't no politics, baby, we just talking. From the birds to the bricks, we be in the mix. With that rare candy paint job on the whip, who you with?
Coast, Volume 4, Size Cat's favorite series. It's fan favorite and animal favorite. We were just talking about your cat. Who else loves cats? Art Bell. Hitler. It's not like
Hitler.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he liked Hitler. But Art Bell loved cats. Big time cat guy. I remember there's that whole... there's that whole arc on, I don't know when it is. I think it's like 03-04 Coast to Coast, where he's just like has a cat that's just like attacking him every day. Like just clawing him to death. Like just he's like outsourcing it to people. Like he's like, please, like open lines. Like, how do I stop this from happening?
Yeah, open lines.
It'll be some insane lady, like hoarder lady. Will just be like, you just let it happen, Art. That's just how they speak to you.
How are you about to be into paranormal shit and not love cats? Is my, you know, it's kind of, yeah, they're paranormal beings, if anything.
Why?
They're just, I don't know. They're just on some kind of, they're in another dimension, like 10%, you know? And It's like talking to an alien or something. It's not quite like a dog. I love dogs too, you know, but yeah.
No, but dogs are quite predictable. Like they're quite just understandable, like human companions. And these are like Lovecraftian, like ancient ones. Like, yeah. So cats, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
You guys probably didn't see it because I just posted it like 5 minutes ago, but I just posted a really sick picture of art from his, I was on his website from 2000 on the Internet Archive.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh.
I just posted a picture from one of the screen headers. That's really sick. And
hell yeah.
Just to get myself in the mood, though, I just spent the last like half hour at my office looking at the old Coast to Coast site. And it sucks, dude. Like I was looking at the pages from like 1999 to 2000, and of course, like, you know, like three quarters of the links don't work. Yeah. And I found, though, God, in June 2000, apparently there was a Coast to Coast AM listeners party in St. Louis.
What? Like an
official, like an official one. Yeah, and they had a link on the website to like look at pictures for. I got so fucking amped up. And, of course, not a single picture. Like,
that would have been sick. Just, like,
I know.
They got to be out there somewhere. Somebody, there's got to be that picture archived. Something. Maybe not an Internet Archive, but there's got to be something.
Yeah. How do you find that shit? The internet doesn't work anymore.
Well, I know it's true. It's true. But I wonder if there's like some like Stan like account somewhere, like maybe even on Instagram. I'll search like that. Somebody's just like, hey, I got, you know, pictures of like Art Bell under like the coat, like from St. Louis, the meetup. I know he's not there, but the fan meetup over there. But, well, you know, as always for this series, Scott's with us at Boxed Sets on X or Twitter or whatever.
Great Scott, CD deep dives lately.
Oh, yeah, no, dude, Scott's amazing. Been on fire lately.
On like, fire. Scott,
I mean, he's always a good poster, but he's like lately. I think when you know when he's going on, because he's on a little like mini podcast run right now. I know you've gone on Yerk's podcast, which we just came from right after you there. But yeah, you've been on fire. What's the latest big box set or CD release that's really just blown your mind lately?
Well, in terms of box sets, there was a Fish box set that came out last weekend that I just got. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had that shit pre-ordered like 2 weeks in advance. I know you guys, have you guys even listened to Fish before?
I couldn't name one song.
Yeah.
I listened to the Mexico City concert that they did a little bit where they played The Ocean by Led Zeppelin. I listened to a little of that.
I've been getting back into them, like a lot of it for like nostalgia reasons. I think I mentioned on the show last year that like when I was like a teenager, they were like the biggest band around here. Like just jam bands in general were huge here and they were like the kings. So, and I was always more of a Grateful Dead guy, but I've been getting back into them pretty hardcore, especially now with spring weather, because I mentioned on the show last year, like I only smoke weed when the weather's nice out, so I finally started smoking weed again a couple weeks ago. It's good Fish weather. So yeah, if you guys ever want to do a deep dive in that shit, just let me know. I can help you out.
It's like I feel like I want to, but man, I just feel like I that's not something I could just spend a month with. I feel like I'd have to spend like years with it before I could do something, right? Because it's just like I would feel there's people that are so opinionated about like Dead and Fish where it's like if I would sound like such a poser even if I did like truly get into them, which that's not out of the question that I could be like, oh man, well, I've been missing this the whole time. But I feel like if I was talking about it after a month, people would just be like, dude, you don't know shit.
When were they big? Like early 90s? It was when they were popping off? Or,
well, I mean, they were huge in the 90s, but it was all kind of like they signed onto like a major label like early on, like in the mid 90s.
Okay.
And like, so like they even had like music videos on MTV and shit. Damn. They were big with the same crowd of people initially who were like really into Ween, like when Ween first got big. And so like their like studio albums were like kind of like cult hits, you know, but of course, you know, they're jam bands, so they're primarily what you want to listen to is their live stuff.
Yeah.
But they're a lot more accessible for newbies than the Grateful Dead are. Like you can get into Fish a lot easier. The Grateful Dead, like I could help you get into Grateful Dead, but I will like fully admit it would take you got to listen to like 30 hours of shit I provide to you to really get Fish. You can kind of just dive in, but dude, you'd be shocked. I was telling Glenn about this once. There's this documentary. It's not streaming anywhere, I used to own the DVD. I don't know where the fuck it is, though, but it's called Bittersweet Motel. And it came out in 99. It was directed by Todd Phillips, the guy who, you know, did old school Road Trip, The Joker. Yeah. But he was like originally like a documentary guy. It's really, really good. Like I think if like most people were to watch that now, because it was recorded I think in 97 and 98. And if you'd be like blown away at how huge they were, but it was all like underground kind of, but like, dude, they would have their own festivals and shit where like 70,000 people just for them. And there'd be like 70,000 people there. And, that's crazy. I think like they were just like the like epitome of like this like 90s like hippie culture that like most people don't even really know existed at the time. But this, also simultaneously it was very, very popular too, you know. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, like I know they just never really got that big in the Bay Area for whatever reason.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like I think even in Southern California they're pretty big, but not in the Bay Area. Like I know a lot of people from like down south, like California down south, like that were really into it. Perhaps it's just because like that's more of the music festival kind of part of California. Like you have obviously like Coachella and stuff like that down there. There's just more big desert towns to do stuff like that in. And up here, it's like, yeah, it's actually the music scene in the Bay Area is either like very small club act or like massive acts that you would see up there. And it was just I didn't know anybody who liked the Dead growing up. Like I knew they were big. I was always watching, you know, pop culture stuff like with my mom, and you'd always hear the references. So it's not like I'm
it's ironic because they're like from the Bay.
Yeah, he's San Francisco. Jerry Garcia's from San Francisco.
And Santa Cruz University has that. Scott, if you're ever out there, they have the free in the library. You can go UC Santa Cruz. They have the free Grateful Dead like museum.
That's true. Yeah, it's that's true. Dumb. The Santa Cruz people love that shit. That's true.
Because it's all the acid tests, like all the Allen Ginsberg and who's that other author? The fucking, you know, that whole tribe plus the Grateful Dead. They were just getting fucking wrecked on psychedelics in random Santa Cruz houses in like '66. You know, that was their whole fucking thing. Yeah, so there's a lot of lore and shit, especially in the mountains, you know, around there.
I mean, when I was in San Francisco, I visited the Grateful Dead house, which like everyone knows where it is on Hay. Mm-hmm. But like,
it's on a mission.
A lot has it, but like it is true though. I assume a lot of it has to do with just because the huge, influx of transplants that came in there over the last 20 years, who just didn't give a shit about that stuff. So a lot of the history,
right?
Like, got. Well, it's like, because I know there was a plan in the late 2000s, I think, to build like a really like sick ass like official Grateful Dead museum in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like looking online, like seeing like the plans for it. It looked like really fucking cool. And but yeah, just like, dude, like the average resident of San Francisco doesn't give a shit about this stuff anymore. So
definitely not now. Definitely not now. It's weird. It's strange. But so you know, the Art Bell archive's been at a bit of a standstill. It's not hasn't been the new uploads. When we were doing these, there would be at least like 10 to 13 new 3-hour blocks of like Art Bell, whether it was Dreamland, Midnight in the Desert, any kind of iteration of Art Bell would get uploaded. But I did sense that the guy who was running the Art Bell archive was a bit of a libtard on the thing, because when there was a bioweapon like virus episode one time, there was a guy that had to do this huge disclaimer that's like, this does not suggest anything about the origins of COVID-19. He like got super Al Gore, super serial in the episode description, whereas otherwise it was just like, enjoy guys, this is great.
Yeah, Art Bell would have totally loved being a COVID N95 guy. Totally.
He would have been a China deranged guy at first. Like he would have fully been full China's fucking trying to kill us for like the first month, and then he'd be like, this is fake.
You would have been like, the virus is from China, just like my wife.
He's like, well, I guess I can't find my next wife. over there in Wuhan.
Don't want to be a super spreader.
Yeah, he would have done that, and then 2 months later he would have been like, he would have had just a few based guests on and then been like, oh, this is fake. He would have had like Dr. Peter McCullough,
kind of like us. Like
but he had the huge, like syndicated This is just assuming that he kept doing Coast to Coast. Of course, I think he would have just switched to like a regular, like iHeartRadio, like podcast kind of thing after a while. Yeah. But that's just like the way it would have been. But this guy, after that episode, I saw fewer and fewer getting uploaded, and I'm just projecting on what I think this guy is. And it's just, there's hardly anything out there right now, but I did find a really, really cool episode. That is actually one of Art Bell's more famous episodes. Now, it's I believe it's from 2001, and it's Brian Walker, who is called the Rocket Guy, like the Rocket Man. So he was going to build a rocket and just go out to Vegas and just shoot up, I think, 30 miles into the sky. The picture, if you find it on I'll drop it in our chat, but like you can go on. There's a Art Bell subreddit where there's some pretty good pictures of the guy on there. Let me just see if I can find it real fast. But yeah, the guy's just got like this huge, it looks like just an old, like really old school, like rocket. It never got off the ground, sadly, and the experiment failed, but the episode is a wonderful time capsule of how amazing Art Bell was in 2001, because he was a bit post-political, right? He would still do his news updates, he would do his, you know, all sorts of things at the top of the hour, just as you do as a news broadcaster on the radio. But he was kind of like sick of just like doing pundit style takes, which a lot of parts of the 90s was a lot of that happening, whether it was guests coming on, and it would be a lot more of a political show than it ended up being in the 2000s. And with Brian Walker, every call in was just like, hey man, like I have no idea if this guy's fucking real or not, or if this guy's like not just a psychopath that's gonna blow himself up, but I just love that you're just having fun, Art. Like this is fun. And I think Art took that, because 2001, I was talking to Scott about this, but 2001 to like 2004 Art Bell, it just really doesn't get better than that, I don't think.
Yeah, and then you also sent that article from like 2015 as like an update on the guy.
Uh-huh.
From like the Washington Times, I guess. I guess the main reason he ended up never being able to go up is he just blew through all his cash, because he made like $7 million inventing this like stupid piece of shit toy.
Yeah.
And that's how he sold that Disney ended up using for like Toy Story toys or something like that. Yeah. It was like some like spinning light thing or something. He like admitted it was like kind of like stupid. And but yeah, he blew through all his cash, but I kind of get the impression he actually really would have done it if he
He was serious. He was serious. Like but there was a time where he, like, you could tell halfway through during the conversation, he's kind of like, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but you don't understand, like, this, what I'm doing right now, this is just like my life's work, whether it gets off the ground or not. He's like, I love working in solitude. I love not working for somebody. I love just taking my money and just fucking around with it. Like, yeah, it was actually really endearing. But also what was really funny is Art gets really excited. He said, he's like, I'll be there, because he's from Oregon. Or Washington or Oregon, but I think he was in
Oregon.
Yeah, I think it was Oregon. And he was gonna go to Vegas to do the launch, because at first he's like, Art Bell's like, it is like against the law to like kill yourself, you know that, right? Like especially in that type of fashion, like, because you know, you could also hurt other people. And the guy's like, he goes, yeah, but I can kill myself because I'm in Oregon. That was one of my favorite like lines of the whole thing, because and it's like, actually, yeah, because Oregon, they're just like, yeah, go off, dude. just kill yourself, dude. It's all good. Like, and
so why do you think I'm here? Yeah, why?
Yeah, he's like Pacific Northwest, dude. It's like, you know, grunge, dude. We're grunge. Like, just do what you got to do. And but then Art's like, yeah, but you're doing it in Vegas. He goes, in my state, there's a hard stance against killing yourself.
Damn,
especially because you're getting out of a gambling debt half the time in Vegas.
But, yeah.
So you're like, the
Bruno Mars, dude.
Yeah, Bruno Mars, Shohei Ohtani, like those guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, forget about it. But. Brian Walker also had Art goes, are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? Like, does somebody get mad about you doing this? He goes, well, in the past year or so, I have got a fiance. You know what I mean? And he's like, whoa, a fiance? He goes, yeah. He goes, she's in Russia right now. and Art's like, I know, I get it, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, I do the Filipino thing. It's different, but yeah.
Game-recognized game.
Yeah, he's like, no, he's like, I get it. But he's, and the guy's like, yeah. He's like, oh, so does she speak English? He goes, she's in the last year, she's been taking English classes. He's like, I tried to speak Russian, but he's like, that's not going to happen. He's like, I'm 46. He's like, she's 29, so she should learn the new language. I thought that was pretty alpha. And then he's like, yeah, and it's clearly a Russian mail order bride. Like, it's clearly, that was a thing back then. I remember that was like a office comedy punchline when, like, you'd see, like, the nerd guy at office would finally be like, oh, I'm getting married. And everyone would be like, what catalog did you order from? Like, where'd you, you know, like, it was a big comedy trope back then. But he was like, yeah, I'm, we've had, he tried to pretend like it was some organic thing because it was like the advent, like, the beginning of really like email and the internet. And he's like, we've had email correspondence over the last 3 months. And stuff, and Art's like, ah, you have, yes, you have. And so basically, she was kind of, I think she was trying to, I think she might have derailed the operation a little bit too. Because she was kind of like, am I really gonna like do all this? And then you're gonna like, all right, first off, are you gonna waste all the money that I clearly want from you on the rocket, you know, the toy, the epic toy money, you know, that you got? Are you gonna waste that on the rocket? But also, if I'm just gonna like change my life and move all the way over there and you just blow up, like, I don't think insurance pays that way, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the insurance payout is quite the same.
Are you married?
No. That's an interesting story, though. I'm going to be soon.
Have a fiance?
I met a woman in Russia.
In Russia.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. She's very wonderful. Very just. She's my soulmate. I mean, I have no doubt that we'd spent 3 months of daily email correspondence, and when I went in last April to fly the MiG, we had arranged a meeting, and from the moment we met,
you saw stars.
Yeah, and she had actually wanted to be a cosmonaut when she was a little girl and always dreamed of it, so when she heard what I was doing, you know, she was just...
So really... you're sure she didn't fall in love with what you were doing more than you?
What if she's stealing the rocket tech, like a little agent action, you know, for Russian agent, yeah. I thought about that.
Or she's helping him.
Yeah, yeah. Like bringing
it. Yeah, they got down, you know what I mean, the Soviets. So like he was just like, yeah, I got to get some outside help. But it's such a fun episode. Like it's kind of similar to the one with the time machine guy. Sky, you love that one and I do too. The guy building his own kind of like time travel, like teleportation device, and that one there felt like there were some theatrics involved. But then also a guy who claimed to be the arresting officer called in for the guy that got arrested the first time, because you're just not allowed to do that, I guess. And the arresting officer was on there and he was like, it was also a game recognized game where it was kind of like those, you know, in the movie Heat, where like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro sit down at the dinner and they're like, I'm going to catch you. I'm going to escape. Like, but like, I love your work kind of thing. But like, I'm out to end you. But I love that time travel guy. And there's like follow-ups. I didn't end up seeing the Y-Files episode on the guy, but
okay. Because you should watch that.
Tell us like what happens in the Y-Files. I will watch it.
Well, the Y-Files just is cool because it just does a rundown of the whole thing. And by the end of it, dude, he does not like debunk. It's not a debunking episode. Like there's a
damn.
I honestly like lean towards this whole thing's real.
That's cool.
I really do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you should. You really should watch that because, dude, like, because the main thing that, at least like when you listen to the first, because he did, I think, three appearances on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, he did.
For starters, he was not seeking fame. So for people listening who don't know who this guy is, his name is Madman Marcus. That was his nickname Art made up for him. He was this 21-year-old like nerd guy. He looks like one of the lone gunmen dudes from the X-Files in 1995. He's got like long hair, big glasses, just like this nerdy dude. In 1995, another reason I like him is because he's from Missouri. He was in this small town in Missouri, like outside of Kansas City. And so he was just like an amateur. He was a college dropout. He was like just like an amateur like electronics hobbyist.
Uh-huh.
And so he was trying to build a Tesla coil at his house. Like, you know, there's like you put like two rods next to each other and you make this like electric current that goes up and down it just for fun. He was just wanting to build like a big Tesla coil, but he didn't have enough power. Like his like home electricity could not like generate enough power to like build the one he wanted. So he knew there's the local power company. They had this like lot that they owned where they had a bunch of like unused transformers just sitting out there in the open. And so he had a few of it is for he got a couple of his friends to take him out there, and they loaded up like one or two of them. These things were like 50 grand a piece in the back of a truck. So he stole them
for sure.
And they weren't being used though. He said he knew for a fact they were just sitting there. And
sick.
He took it back to his house. He rigged it all up. And then he caused like some, like he like knocked out all the power in his area for like trying to like tweak it and everything. And so he ended up making this like super powerful Tesla coil and this weird electromagnetic like field. He said it just like looked like a giant haze appeared. And he had no idea what the fuck it was like in front of him. And he started throwing like small objects into it and they would disappear for a few seconds and then like reappear again.
So sick.
So he had no idea what the fuck this thing was. And I'm sorry. I think he made okay, I might be getting a little of the timeline confused, but anyway, the gist of it is the reason the cops came to his house is because he was causing blackouts in his area and that like, electrical blackouts. And his neighbor, he had these like nosy neighbors who called the cops on him because they like saw that he had like an electrical transformer at his home.
Yeah.
And the cops like put two and two together. So they came back. So he got arrested for stealing the electrical transformer. So then when it got reported in the local news, because his town's like outside of Kansas City. So I guess like the Kansas City newspaper.
Right.
Article about it, and he told the arresting officers he was trying to build a time machine because that's what he theorized he'd accidentally created a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told the cops. So then someone forwarded, like, faxed the newspaper article to Art, and Art tracked him down and got him on the show. So then Art, you know, is like electrical genius because
time is his number one thing. Yeah. Time travel is literally his number one thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Art has him on the show, and dude, he's like drilling. Like Art, like at first, I guess I kind of thought he was like this guy was just like full of shit or crazy. Yep. Mm-hmm. And he started like drilling him and just like asking most questions like about electrical engineering and stuff. The dude, he knew he could answer every question.
Wow.
Put everything, and then all the people you listen to a call in were like, holy shit, like dude, like people who like know their shit.
Yeah, and that guy's spurgy too, and he had that real spurgy attitude. That Madman Marcus, like when he would talk, it was like really like psycho. Like this guy actually would do it because it wasn't like there was another time machine guy that I liked, but I was also he was just like he's like I had the mayor over, and the mayor's like, dude, take this down. I'm like, shut up, you know. And he was kind of like a guy at the bar, and I was like, I don't picture that guy having a time machine, though. He was also really. I think his last name was Bell too. But yeah, there was another one of that. But this guy, Madman Marcus, like he was like true nerd. Like you're right.
Yeah,
like, you could tell like too humble to be, or not might be the right word, but just like too authentic to be like, you know, your spidey senses are like, oh, maybe he's.
And then he would laugh. He would chuckle a little bit. They'd be like something. He's like, yeah. I mean, you know, he would just do that like, every once in a while. He would break that, but that was it. And That was an awesome episode. And you're right about Art's reaction, because you hear Art go like Art at the beginning. You're right. He was like he was ready to like debunk this guy. But then you can always tell about halfway through, you know, these are long conversations broken up by commercial breaks where Art has time to kind of sit and think about what he just heard a little bit while he's running the show. And he'll come back and he'll just be a little bit speechless and go, my God, you know, like and oh, man, like we really got something here. He would really like. Whereas when he doesn't believe somebody, and I remember one guy, one of my favorite fraud ones was that guy who pretended to be the assassin, like a high level assassin. And he was just like, yeah, and I'll, you know, it's all business, man. Like I'm not a violent person. He's like, but if someone paid me to kill Art Bell, I'd do it. Like right here in the, and he's just kind of like tough guy, like super epic tactical tough guy, like LARPer guy. And then I remember like one, like, you know, Navy, or I don't know, I'm a Navy, but like just like a military sniper, I guess would be the case. Like called in and was just like, hey, I'm gonna ask you the most basic question about like sniping, like which the guy said was his like main way of killing people. And he's like, oh, so what would you do in this scenario with like this degree of wind coming? Like, how would you, you know, get the shot to like do like a headshot? And the guy was just like, well, it depends. He goes, no, it doesn't depend on anything. He's like, it's actually like most like concrete law of like sniper. He goes, yeah, but I mean, like you think that, but like me, you know, I've applied it so much and stuff. And the guy's
first time caller line, you're on the air with Gabriel. Hello.
Hi, my name is Derek. I'm calling from Thousand Oaks, California.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Hi. Listen, I've been listening, rather interesting guest. He's very articulate and, knows a lot of buzzwords and so on, but I have a military background that's fairly specialized, and I do have some background in advanced marksmanship.
Fantastic.
Yeah, now...
That's not where mine is.
Well, we'll find out, because I'm hoping that I can sort of resolve in my mind the extent to which you're being truthful about all this by just simply talking shop with you for a minute.
Sure.
You mentioned that... you have some specialized sniping background or some training that you received in the private sector. I thought you had made a mention about operating a 308 rifle at 1,000 yards.
A 308 bolt, yeah. It's.
Can you tell me what bullet weight you would use at that? Let me start off an even more obvious point. Anyone trained in the discipline of sniping can tell me in an instant what the bullet drop is going to be for their bullet, say 168 grain match boat tail, 400 yards. If you can tell me that.
If I'm using PMC ammo, it's going to be.
Well, if you're sitting there with a box of PMC ammo looking at the information.
No, I wish I had one.
Why don't you tell me instantly? You just were down in South America or Central America taking pot shots at bad guys. What was your hold at 400 yards or 400 meters?
I zeroed out and
Zeroed. What was your hold? You're going to obviously. Why don't you tell me what your normal zero is, and you can tell me what your hold is.
Well, my normal zero, what yardage, sir?
What? Why don't you tell me? What do you zero it in for? Your sniper trainer.
I zero it in first at between 350 and 5.
So you don't zero a rifle in for a range. Any sniper trained person knows you zero a rifle at a specific distance.
Yes, or zero it from 50, 100, 150, 200, 350, 500, 850, and then 1,000.
Sir, you're not sniper trained.
Art would dramatize it almost like kind of, that's why I love that Art left it up to you a lot of times, but you could kind of hear what he thought a little bit, like kind of just like, well, this is fake, but I got to fill 3 hours. So like, let's make either expose this guy as a complete fraud in a kind of drawn out fashion, or like find out something actually amazing. Like that's what's so cool about his show.
I like how people have always been LARPing is not a new thing. It's like always existed. It's
it was
crazy.
Easier to do back then. I feel like it was back then, like when on a show like Coast to Coast, like you could at least like get through like a half hour of like at least people kind of giving you like, okay, like let's see what this guy has to say. But like nowadays what sucks is there's no mystery for a lot of people. Like I can tell right away. I'm just like, that guy's a fucking loser. Some guy you see like on the internet, like that's fake. Like that Tom, like right, I don't, not to make this a Twitter thing, but like the tomboy thing, the girl was like pulling catfish out of the water. It's like, yeah, of course she has, is like with black rifle coffee and shit like that. You're like, okay. Yeah. And then everybody acts like they exposed it. It's like, no, you fell for it. That's the problem. Like, you know, you fell for this thing. But like with Coast to Coast, there was still this like veneer of like mystery that was really cool. And it like people were so like, was this real? Was it not? And it's, that's fun, a fun game to play. But I'm like, no, it was entertaining either way. Who cares?
Yeah.
The Madman episode, though, that's one of the times, though, where someone appearing on Coast to Coast just one time led to like way bigger things happening because after people started calling in and offering to give him like money and resources to build a larger machine. And it actually happened. He ended up renting a warehouse space, and he really did build a larger machine, and people actually did fly out to visit it. If you donated money to him, he let you fly out and look at it. And apparently like something like 15 people actually did see this machine he built. Wow. And so basically what happened, though, is he told Art that he was like he kept sending like bigger and bigger objects into it, and he claimed they would like reappear but like further away from the warehouse, you know, because what happened was if you were to time travel, you would never reappear in the same spot you left because the earth is spinning. And so when he did an update on Coast to Coast, he's explaining this to Art, and it's like apparently it's true. If you watch the Wi-Fi's episode, like people really did go out there and see this device. And so then he announced that, okay, well, I'm gonna walk through this device and see what happens. Jeez. He said he was gonna walk through it, and then he just disappeared off the face of the earth for 2 years. Then he reappeared. He claimed that he fucking reappeared 2 years later in Ohio, which is pretty far away from Kansas.
Yeah, and that's like that's like Interstellar, like the movie, like, you know, where like they're like scooping stuff out of the water, and they're like, how much, like, one hour is like 7 years on this planet, so like we got to be quick. And it's like I bet it's happened. Like I bet it's happened, and to me
it's possible,
like,
man.
and you know the CIA has got an Art Bell division, like three people on staff full time, just listening to each, you know, calling these guys. Probably not anymore, but you know they did have that shit back then. Like, he was a, not saying Art Bell was an agent. He was
case to be made that there are, were, if okay, so like, I think he had such a free flowing program that he had multiple Fed agent people on that were like meant to shit like Rogan. Things. Yeah, exactly. He kind of he's a smart, I think he's a genuinely smarter person than Rogan, but he also was a military guy himself. So those guys always fall for like the, I'm, you know, like I even saw the crashed UFO thing. Like, I know not everybody listened to it, but there was like a crash at like, I think in Germany, this guy said, and he saw like, but like, he was just like, half the time I'm like, dude, like, I know you're out of the military now, but I'm like, dude, you cannot be telling us all of this stuff. Like, he's like, oh, and I signed like all these documents and all that stuff. And he like said his name and everything. And I'm like, really? You know, like, I'm not saying he didn't see something, but it's very strange that like, if we're talking about like a crash that like cratered like an entire forest, like it wasn't just like something hitting the side of a barn type thing. Like it was hitting like cratering an entire forest. And he saw like multiple like, beings run away and then die, like one of them die in front of him. Like it was like a true like contact experience, like that would have defied everything. And I'm like, dude, if you really were spilling beans like that, they would, maybe the guy did get killed. I'm not saying he didn't, like, but it was kind of like that. Like even the Area 51 thing, I'm like, okay, that was crazy because the whole system dropped. Like, you know, when that happened. So I could see that being the case, like cut, like somebody taking like garden shears to Art Bell's connection, you know, when that happens. But for some of them, it does seem like, you know, Art, for what it was down to have anybody on, whether they were, you know, shit coding something, whether they were real, whether they were lying or anything. Yeah. And that's why I love, like, that show can't exist now. People are such weird fact checkers about everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, and I hate that about people. Like they ruin their own fun. They ruin their own fun.
That's what non-conspiracy people don't get, is that that's part of the fun for us, is knowing that half of it is bullshit and sifting through it. Uh-huh. It's not like, and they're like, you just believe anything, don't you? It's like, no, it's like a little puzzle. You know, it's actually kind of an exercise, even if it's subconscious, you know, and it's,
That community itself has like super like civil wars that happen in between the two. Like I watched Dark Journalist, and he's talked about like, he kind of has the same thing. He's like, there's parts of Art Bell, he's like, where there's been like huge like UFO op stuff, like where people just like completely distract people from like what's actually happening, or like money that's getting moved into certain things. And he's like a believer in aliens and stuff, and or the fact that there could be, but like he's also just like, yeah, and like you'll say that he would quote Richard Hoagland, who like most people believe is like the real deal, right? Like somebody like Richard Hoagland, he'll be like, yeah, this was amazing to hear. And like he gets cited on Dark Journalist channel, but he'll talk about somebody who's completely fake, and I forget who, would go on Coast to Coast, and he'd be like, yeah, this guy was there just like literally reading off a script, essentially.
It's like Steve Greer or something. That guy is kind of sketch, dude. Right?
I believe, and he has been on there, right? On
Coast to Coast, I think so.
Yeah. Modern day Coast to Coast AM. Like, I know none of us listen to it. Because you know, it still airs like every night. It's got different hosts and shit now. And it absolutely is, like, I'm sure like there's good stuff on there still occasionally. Maybe most of it's okay, but it's like 100% proven that over the last decade there's been numerous federal people working for the feds on that show who've been like returning guests. Like, I don't know if you like heard the whole story about their guests they had on to talk about crop circles. Like, a couple of them were at 100%, it's been proven, have been were working for the federal government, including like British intelligence and shit. Right. So it's like, the way that, like, I mean, okay, so like the paranormal community has for the last like fucking 30 to 40 years has been infiltrated by federal agents. Absolutely. Like, everyone kind of knows that to an extent. The only like argument is like to what extent. And Especially though, over the past few years, it's really, really ramped up. And it's like, I don't think any of us on here, right on the show, really believe any of this disclosure shit going on now.
No,
really. And
yeah. Like, what is that? What is that even?
The only people who seem to like really believe all this shit are people who are just now getting into aliens. So they just believe everything, and they're not people who've like kind of been into it like on and off throughout their whole life or whatever. Because like anyone who's like knows about like the history of this shit, like could kind of recognize that this stuff is absolutely an op, and like anything that's coming out now is being vetted by the Pentagon, and it's only coming out because if the government is allowing it to be released, you have to at least at bare minimum be skeptical of it, you know, or just disregard it entirely, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. There's like the dark journalist guy will be like, he'll talk about like, okay, I forget what the guy's name, David Grush, the guy that's been like all over. He's like, yeah, that guy's fake as fuck. I mean, the guy's like on like daytime talk shows talking about this shit. Like, of course, you know, like now where like everything is super, you know, centralized on the internet and then therefore erased easily and manipulated easily. It's like, oh yeah, I'm sure that on, you know, Kelly Clarkson or whatever, like a daytime show, he can just go out there and spill the beans or something. And I've seen him like get interviews on X, you know, like the real like Elon X like thing. I'm with just the most like normie, like military, like Pentagon brained, you know, wake up at 4 a.m. type dudes. And that part's interesting, but like you'll hear guys like dark journalists go like, yeah, but there is still a UFO file. Like a real UFO file like that. Because I on our sphere of Twitter, there's those like parapolitical people that think like the entire paranormal world is either what I don't get. And I know there's some listeners here. What I don't get is they'll say like, OK, that stuff's all fake. Right. Aliens I just saw somebody like try to debunk like Mothman stuff by saying they put acid in the water supply of that town. So there was LSD and the military was doing like rural LSD experiments on these people. Yet they all saw the same thing. Like, you know,
exactly.
You don't do acid. Like you and your friends don't all see the same fucking thing. They would see so many different things. There were people that saw Indrid Cold and people that saw a moth-like creature in the sky. And a lot of people had experiences that actually cross over each other. I'm like, dude, if me and my friends do acid, we all saw some different shit.
That's like they're new to it too, just like you just started if you think it's all fake, you just started believing it too, because a lot of these things you pick up over years and months and years of anecdotes and all these different little puzzle pieces being put together. And to the thing the op shows me, if I had to guess, is that there is some kind of disclosure that might be happening on some kind of timeline, and they're just trying to beat it. That's basically what, and won't work. I don't think it's not going to work. You know, that's one thing.
Bend it a little bit. Like, how can we make disclosure, make people stay in their houses? How can we make,
never let a crisis go to waste.
Up the Israel military budget. Like, how can we, you know, there's a lot of things like that can be done with this, especially when you think about the fact that like, it's a very divisive topic. Like you bring it up under some people and they just shut down. Even like the fake stuff. They're like, that's fake. Like, but not in the way we're saying that's fake. But like I said, the UFO file, like there are UFO file maximalists out there. Now, I don't know that I'm there yet. And I want to talk to some of them on here, but like there's people who think Kennedy got killed because of the UFO file. And all of a sudden, like we're doing these moon expeditions, like right at, you know, shortly after. And then like some people are saying that Trump was going to remember for a while, Trump was talking about like releasing a lot of UFO stuff. Like that was a big it was never. I know like Space Force, like libtards, like laughed at that like big time. That was a huge. I remember they made like the space farce movie like out of it, which I'm sure everybody loved and was amazing and a great move of political transgression behavior. But they tried to do that, but like I do think like Trump was genuinely like interested in space, but there people would put like a timeline where Trump was just constantly tweeting about like aliens and stuff, and like stuff, and then all of a sudden was just like the next day was just like, nah, I don't think we're gonna release it, you know. And it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe like I can see a situation where just like Trump kind of got like backed down by Pfizer and stuff, like maybe that happened with the UFO file too. Like I think there's something there.
Yeah, I agree.
And like it is just very frustrating too, because there'll be like stuff like where, you know, like there's like with all this disclosure shit from the past year, like there's like recordings in the congressional record now like theorizing from like eyewitnesses and stuff who've of like people who have like provided their testimony and stuff, like saying like theorizing things like, oh, well, you know, aliens might actually be demons or, you know, entities from another dimension, which is stuff that people have been talking about since like at least the 1970s.
Right.
Which for one thing, okay, so people who have not been into this shit in the past will hear that, will be hearing this for the first time, like, whoa, you know, and like that really makes me think, you know, and like so that makes them think this stuff is even more real. And it's like, it actually, okay, that theory could be true for a lot of alien stuff. You know, they really could just be like, you know, from another dimension or whatever, and not even from outer space or whatever. That's totally legit. It could be legit, but the government, if the government is talking about it, they're talking about it because they know people have been onto this shit for decades and they're trying to distract you from something else. And like, so like, and then it leads to other people just dismissing it entirely. And it's just, it's very frustrating because people, the average person just doesn't understand nuance, you know? And so it's like,
I don't like that everything that you can't see, anything potentially outside our everyday, you know, five senses consciousness is a demon thing. I'm like, okay, that's such cope. There's for sure dark energies, but it's like,
absolutely.
Come on, dude. Like really, like that's a way to keep yourself in a little box for the rest of your life, in my opinion, you know?
It's semantics. Yeah. Like the word demon is just semantics.
Yeah.
You know, because if you say the word demon, it just automatically means satanic or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But like, you know, it can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I understand people who abstain from like doing it, but I just hate when see other people doing it. It's like, you're doing demonic things. But my issue with that parapolitics like community that wants to say that every, like, either anything you see in the sky is just government testing. There's psychological operations on rural towns, which a lot of these guys I feel like are like leftist communists who are like, do you even like the rural town people that they're testing on? I don't know. Randomly, maybe the rural town people were getting close to being communist and they're like, put LSD in the water, they won't be communist anymore. You know, I could see this weird, huge, like weird coping thing for why we don't have communism and stuff, like for a lot of these guys. Yeah. And there's just some people who are like, we witnessed the government testing things on people like publicly. Like that's not to say that doesn't happen, but I will say all these other people will also get into like satanic panic in Hollywood, or like Rothschild, like all these billionaires are talking to demons and messing with the occult. I'm like, okay, but then you're admitting that something's there by that. Mm-hmm. These guys, like, okay, if you see something that's moving in the sky and it looks like it's not obeying the laws of physics as we know it, you're saying like, well, that's the government testing something out. I'm like, okay, so were they contacting somebody then?
Yeah.
Find that. Because it's quite clear that the Nazis were getting close.
Yeah.
Like to, if not there, like Joseph Farrell thinks not that Germany didn't lose World War II. Like he straight up says that. He's like, they dipped out. He's like, but there's still shit going on. I mean, and it's tough to deny that when you look at the origins of Pfizer, Bayer, all these companies that are still around.
Continuation.
You're like, you're kind of like, yeah, the movie The Boys in Brazil. Like, yeah, what we saw, right? Like when you watch the movie like Tenet and you see like a huge war happening and you're like, oh, there's the winner, there's the loser. It's like, yeah, what we saw, that's definitely real. All that stuff happened. But the idea that like, okay, whoever... If the war was fought over who could develop the most like based like anti-gravity like stuff to rule the world, maybe they won, right?
Yeah, and wars aren't won and lost like that anymore, like in World War II, like you said. And also maybe if there were Greys directing the Nazis in Antarctica, for example, just one thought, you know,
probably
maybe they got their shit they needed done and they moved on to another thing. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, go to NASA. We'll keep the Pfizer thing going. You know, there's endless permutations of what could have happened with that. Right?
Yeah. You just listened to a preview of one of our premium episodes. And to get access to the full thing, you got to be a paid subscriber to the Rare Candy Substack. That's rarecandy.substack.com. It's only $5 a month or $55 for the whole year. You get 1 month free if you do the whole year. You get access to premium Rare Candy episodes, my podcast, The Glenn Word, and whatever the hell else we want to charge people for. Again, that's rarecandy.substack.com. Thanks again.